Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It is playoff season. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to face the Chicago Bulls, the local rival Chicago Bulls, in the first round of the NBA playoffs. First time that those two have met in the postseason since 2015. Bulls actually haven't even won a playoff series since beating the Bucks back in 2015. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward Podcast, and on the other line, of course, is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, making his way home after the Bucks regular season ended Sunday in Cleveland with a loss. Nobody played. We'll talk briefly about the regular season. But Jim, you have said, and we've said offline, I know you've talked about it on social media a little bit, you've made it clear that this Bucks team, this team that's now the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, they were the 3 seed last year when they won the title, that they're not dodging anybody. They're not making any decisions with an eye on getting the just right matchup in the postseason, even though many Bucks fans, myself included, have pointed out that it would probably not be great to have to face a Brooklyn team with two superstars on it in the first round. It's possible that the Nets get that 7 seed. We don't know that for sure because of the play-in tournament, but they are the host team for the 6-7 game that will, or 7-8 game, I should say, that will determine that 7 seed. And, you know, rather than that, they get now the Chicago Bulls, a team that has played extremely poorly since the All-Star break. They have not been able to play well against the top teams in either conference at any point this year. That feels like a very favorable matchup. And then they would get the Celtics in the next round, which I don't know if that really scares the Bucks either. Feels like the Bucks got the best path they possibly could have gotten, whether or not they wanted to have it or like pursued it. So I'm going to ask again, you know, like, I'm not saying you're wrong, but are we sure the Bucks didn't take a look at that last game of the season and think, we kind of don't want the Nets, we need one more loss, let's just rest everybody, and then we can deal with the Bulls, which is a much more favorable matchup in the first round?
No, I mean, I can't sort of emphasize this enough, JR, despite the talking heads nationally and some fans, the defending champion, Milwaukee Bucks, did not do anything to avoid anyone. What they did was set themselves up for no worse than the 3 seed, at best the 2, by beating Boston, by beating Detroit. That's why all of the key players played on a back-to-back the second to last game of the season. I mean, now granted, a lot of those guys had played back-to-backs throughout the year, but that's what it was. Winning in Detroit, JR, guaranteed no worse than a 3. And why does that matter? That's not avoiding Brooklyn. It was kind of like the same setup as you mentioned a year ago. There's a chance that they could get 2 rounds at home. They're at home for sure. There is a little bit of a logistical nightmare going to Toronto. It's not the vaccination. We addressed that last week, but there's still tests required. There's still that, thing hanging out there, if you will. No, it's not to avoid a team in particular. And you know, the Nets aren't even in, as we record this year, the Nets aren't even in the playoffs right now. They have to win at least one game to do so. And so to just sort of assume that a team that had to go 5-3 down the stretch, and play Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant 41 minutes per game to eke out wins over Detroit and Indiana. I'm not like being dismissive. I'm stating what they had to do to get to a play-in, to earn the right to play the Boston Celtics or the Milwaukee Bucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things they are. I don't understand. Look, I get it from the national perspective, the talking heads, if you will, because it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They're far more interesting than anyone else in the Eastern Conference playoffs, right? Let's be real. But if you're a Bucks fan and you're actually paying attention to the team, I don't know why you would think the Nets are a problem, JR. I mean, since game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals, the Bucks are 6-2 against the Brooklyn Nets. And one of those losses this year took a superhuman effort from Kyrie Irving coming off the All-Star break, and which is like a three-point win, right? So I just, it's one of those things where that's not a thing for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's just not. So I don't know. And I know that, and it's not just me speculating. I know that from the team. From hearing what they think and how they thought about approaching Boston and Detroit and then this Cleveland game, two or three really didn't matter. And it proved, and they proved that by not playing anyone against the Cavs, but also playing anyone the way they did against Detroit and Boston.
Do you think then, you said, so two and three are kind of seen as equal. Are they trying to avoid four because of Toronto? Do you think that there's at least something to that, that they can avoid the logistical nightmare that comes with having to travel to Toronto?
Yeah, I think there definitely was, and that's the thing I got lost in this, JR. They're not going to play anyone. They want to avoid, if they wanted to avoid Brooklyn truly, they wouldn't have played anyone against, they would have sat guys against the Pistons and they would have sat everyone against Detroit. You know what I mean? They still had a chance to get the two seed yesterday, or as we record this, excuse me. Sorry, I'm.
Oh, it's fine.
In Cleveland.
People know, you know, Jim. What I mean? People know.
I think that's the thing to remember. If they truly, truly didn't want the two seed, they would have handled that last week of the regular season. So yes, and I wouldn't even say it's about avoiding Toronto. I think they just wanted to stay out of the four, because look, if you're the four seed, you're only getting one playoff series at home. That's it. You don't have a chance. You know what I mean? The six, seven, eights, the five, they're all not winning a bunch of series. So the two or the three gives you a chance of maybe two home courts, maybe three, if things break your way in the Western Conference and you get there, right? And yeah, it is a logistical pain in the butt to get in and out of Canada. I mean, you have to test for COVID-19, whether you're vaccinated or not. And look, if you're not, sure where you're stuck in Canada for 2 weeks, yeah. I mean, this is a real thing for me, even. If they were to play, that's just it. Sure, you feel good. You're going to tell yourself to be safe, but why not? Why put yourself in that position if you don't have to?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. And I do think, I still think Brooklyn is a dangerous team for Boston. I don't know if I would necessarily pick Boston to sweep them or to win convincingly, but if that is the matchup that ends up coming to pass, and again, we don't even know, Brooklyn's got to beat Cleveland before.
Jared Allen might be back. And I know, right. Look, I know, we can get into, man, look, when those 3 7-footers are in the lineup for Cleveland, they were the four, JR, right? Before before Jared Allen broke his hand, and then before Evan Mobley got hurt. I don't know if Bucks fans remember Cleveland physically beating them up at Rocket Mortgage with those guys, or Cleveland physically beating them up at Fiserv in a very close Bucks win. If Jared Allen's ready to go in the middle of the week, Brooklyn can win, sure, right? Kevin Durant's going to play 47 minutes, and they could win. But I would not be shocked if Cleveland wins and Brooklyn has to beat Atlanta for their life in a one-game variance with Trae Young. No, thank you. I'm just saying, you're right. The Nets could easily win and get into the second round, but if anyone's watched them, JR, I don't know how my basketball sensibilities cannot – bring me to say they're going to win the East and therefore anyone should have avoided them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so funny this time well, not this time last year, but last year during the playoffs, I vividly remember a national talk show leading off with, are we seeing the beginning of a Brooklyn Nets dynasty? They had gone up 2-0 on the Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and I kind of looked like that. And then, of course, the Bucks win that series, and now they're fighting for their playoff lives. You know, they're not guaranteed a spot in the playoffs, and they might have to beat a team that also went to the Eastern Conference finals last year to get a spot. One of those teams...
Right.
One of those teams won't have a spot. So it's wild to me that things have I guess there is actually a scenario where both the Hawks and the Nets get in. Poor Cleveland would be out in that case. But it's just wild to me that that it has gone the way it has. Okay, so they weren't maybe hunting matchups. They still got a really good one, if you ask me. The Chicago Bulls, a team that the Bucks have beaten four times this year. Chicago hasn't always been healthy, but they're not going to get a whole lot healthier than they are now. Lonzo Ball is not coming back. They do have Patrick Williams back, and LaVine is playing here and there. But this is a team that doesn't have much for the Bucks and hasn't had much for any of the teams, the top four teams in either the West or the East. So I got to think Milwaukee loves it. They're not far away, obviously, from Chicago. This is not a big-time travel series. We've seen Chicago fans take over Bucks, the Bradley Center and Pfizer Forum in years past, but I don't know if that's going to happen because the Bucks are obviously the defending champions and a team that a lot of people here are following. There's not going to be as much enthusiasm, or there's not going to be more enthusiasm from the Chicago fans than there are in Milwaukee. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of Chicago presence. It's going to be a tense battle. We have the Alex Caruso, Grayson Allen thing. But on the court, I'm not sure the Bulls have anything for the Bucks. DeMar DeRozan is great. What comes next? I'm not sure. Is there any way this series? Are there any surprises, Jim? Is there any way that I'm overstating it, that the Bucks, you know, are going to have to worry about this more than we think they will?
No. And look, I don't mean to look. At one point, the Bulls were the one seed in the East. They were my preseason USA Today prediction is probably more accurate now. I thought they might be at the bottom of the playoff picture. and fortunately for them, they escaped, the play-in because Cleveland was like the one team they did beat. the only, and JR, I don't even think this would be a surprise if you're a Bucks fan, is maybe the Bulls steal game one because the Bucks historically don't play well when they've been off this long. Like Drew Holiday tends to turn it over seven times. Giannis doesn't play well when he's been off. I mean, I think the stats already been out there. JR, the Bucks have lost, you know, game one of like five of their last six playoff series. I don't know what that is. So the only thing I can think of is it'll be a close game on Sunday. And does Chris Middleton hit the game winner like he did against Miami? Because that was really the only game that was close in that Heat series last year was game one. Do the Bucks have 5 days, in the case of the starters, 7 days worth of rust? But would Bucks fans be surprised by that, saying what I just said? So, no, I don't think there's a surprise factor here. I think the Bucks for sure believe they can sweep. I think the Bulls probably know they'll get swept. game one, there's the one that might be the tilter. And then you figure which one do the Bulls show up in, three or four? Is it, okay, UC's rocking because they haven't been in a playoff series in how long? Or is it game four on the verge of elimination? So I could see a gentleman sweep, JR, but nothing... and maybe in that game that the Bucks lose, that's the one where DeMar DeRozan goes to the free throw line 16 times. You know what I mean? Because he just got that whistle. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Bulls haven't beaten a Bucks team with Giannis and Chris in the lineup since 2017. I mean, I know the teams are different, but this Bucks team is better even than those, right?
Right.
So, this is not to dismiss two all-stars in Chicago and actually Vucevic, three all-stars in Chicago. It's just, I feel like that momentum is so bad for Chicago and the Bucks are peaking.
Bucks finished the year with a win over Boston that really, really gave Milwaukee a leg up in some of the tiebreakers and whatnot, and didn't ultimately finish ahead of Boston, but that was a pretty important win. And I thought that one made me kind of nervous because I figured that Milwaukee would have the upper hand. Jason Tatum was not playing for Boston. The Celtics were coming off of a back-to-back. It was at Pfizer Forum. I thought the Bucks were going to blow Boston out of the water. It didn't happen that way. It was a tense finish, but they get that game and then follow it up with, like you said, a back-to-back. They go to Detroit and they manhandle the Pistons, which was not a given. It was not something that was guaranteed. The Pistons have been playing well down the stretch and I think are situated to be a pretty good team next year, depending on how things go for them in the lottery here, but kind of unexpected performances, I would say, on both fronts in my mind, that the second half of the back-to-back would be the better showing for Milwaukee. Any thoughts from those games? Anything that you think that is worth noting as we get into the postseason? We'll talk about the season as a whole here in a second, but just these last few games, anything that that jumped to mind for you?
Well, JR, I think it kind of dovetails what we saw with the whole season. So it's kind of a good transition here to look at the Bucks 2021-22 season as a whole, in that they were inconsistent defensively throughout. Yet when they seemed to be, I don't want to call it interested, but maybe that's just the word to use for our purposes. You know, okay, fourth quarter, close game. Let's not let the other team score for 2 minutes and they win, right? Like how many, I mean, sure, they lost 31 times. But the big three, JR, I believe it's 37 and 10 when the big three are on the court together. That's an insane winning percentage. Obviously it set them up for the record that they had, the seeding that they had. I would say that was how the year went, right? Like, you know, COVID, there were injuries. But when those guys were together, the Bucks proved to me what they were. And now in some of those games, there were like, oh, they were closer maybe than they needed to be. So we'll see if what happens in the playoffs there, right, JR, as they play these, you know, better teams round after round, can they turn, like, are they going to play 48 minutes of basketball? Are they going, is this third quarter thing that never was rectified going to be a thing in the playoffs? Because if so, you know, playoff teams may not allow you to come back in the fourth quarter if you crap down your leg in the third. So 51 and 31, look, not many Pugs teams in history. The fans are getting used to it now. But in reality, JR, I think this is just the 13th team in franchise history to win at least 51 games or maybe 13 or 14, something like that. So very good season in that way. But I think the way these last two games ended showed like, oh, they can dominate or they can beat a very good team, but kind of have to wait till the end to decide, all right, now it's time for us to turn the screws.
Some interesting stats have popped out to me. The Giannis finishes shy of the scoring title, but still 29.9 points per game. He finishes with 11.6 rebounds per game, so 5.8 assists, obviously. He is in the MVP conversation. I still think, I would guess you fall kind of where I do, that it's not going to happen for him this year, but he absolutely is deserving of at least some consideration there. The Bucks played 29 players this year. I think it'd be quite the challenge to try to name them all. We're going to, if you're a Javon Delorier stan or a Jeff Doughton fan, you'd be able to do well. But there are some names on here that I'm confident many Bucks fans will not remember, although some that they will. I mean, it seems like it's been so long ago now, but Shemi Ojeleye, Rodney Hood, Greg Monroe, DeMarcus Cousins, like many players have come and gone playing somewhat, I would say, prominent roles, kind of. You know, Rajon Tucker is here now.
Basically, JR, I mean, you just named off, like, all of next season's one quick buck.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, no, unless, though, Jim, if they win the title, they're all disqualified. That is a championship player at that point. No, I could certainly do that. I mean, if they're not physically on the team when they win the championship, I feel like I have some. Yeah, yeah, we should definitely start the year with Boogie Cousins next year. That's a definitely good place to start. One guy who is on this team still is Serge Ibaka, and he's dinged up here toward the end of the year, has not played much. And, you know, I go back to that deal they made, and I feel like I don't know if the Bucks do it again, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, if they are willing to trade away Dante DiVincenzo for a guy who ultimately didn't contribute a lot. Now, some of that is not his fault. He was brought in at the time when Brook Lopez was out. Brook Lopez came back. He sort of has reacclimated to as good as ever. I don't know if anybody expected that, including the Milwaukee Bucks. But Serge Ibaka, I don't get the sense, is going to play a huge role in the playoffs. So now it's, you know, you go back and you wonder, did they make a mistake with that DiVincenzo deal, or was that simply they just had to keep those bases covered and it was just not something they could afford to sort of sit on?
Yeah, I think that is the case, JR, because you can't look in the whole Brook Lopez conversation. How many times did we talk about on this podcast, JR? Like, it's back surgery for a giant man in his 30s. We don't know. And yes, while the Bucks could have gotten all of the positive glowing reports and Brook could be good. And I haven't had back surgery, but I've had enough surgeries on joints and things where I've progressed ahead of schedule. And yet my doctor says, you know, there's still a failure rate in replaced ligaments. There's still a chance. Like, so if you're the Bucks, sure, if you would have told John Horst, and you know for a fact, you get like the whole Giannis, you can't break the future thing, right? Brook Lopez is going to return early. He's going to look as good as he's looked, felt as good as he's felt pre-surgery. No questions asked. And he won't get hurt, and he won't have a twinge until the end of the season, whenever that is. Sure, maybe John Horst. I think they trade Dante because of the upcoming contract situation, sure. But maybe it's for a different type of player. But back then, JR, this was all unknown, right? Like Cleveland, we just talked about Cleveland at the beginning. Could you have predicted Jared Allen and Evan Mobley get hurt? I mean, we could easily be talking about a Bucks-Cavs first round, and at which point Serge Ibaka's playing a lot. You know, and so I think you're right. As it stands, unless they run into Philadelphia and maybe a little bit of Brooklyn. Serge is not really going to be a factor to me unless they play Phoenix. Phoenix has got a bunch of bigs now, you know, that was their response to losing to the Bucks. They're like, wait, we need 3 7-footers-ish. and the Bucks saw that. You know, when they played at Footprint Center and got beat up. You know, maybe if Utah squeaks through, Serge plays. But yeah, I think it strictly was in the moment they had to protect themselves, JR. And now the way it's played out, he could get a second ring, but may not really have much of a role.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here that relates to this. I bet they do end up seeing Cleveland in the second round, which means Cleveland beats Brooklyn to get the 7th seed and then goes on and beats Boston in the first round. That's a bold, probably reckless and ridiculous prediction, but that's where I'm going to go with this. So they maybe then do need Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, look, we literally had this conversation at dinner after the game against Cleveland. Like on one hand, the East is so muddled. That yes, I opened this podcast with a rant about I can't believe why there's this love for Brooklyn to like win it all. However, outside of the Bucks, who are clearly the best team in the East, in my opinion, followed by Miami, I could make the case for the play-in teams to at least win one upsets in the play-in, but then also win the first round. Because the Robert Williams third injury in Boston's a big deal. And depending on the matchup, if it is Cleveland, they've got nothing for 3 7-footers. I mean, if the Cavs are healthy as we record this, Jared Allen looked good in his pregame warmups. I don't know why he wouldn't try to play a little bit, JR. That's a whole other thing. It's not a Cavs broadcast. But I wouldn't – look, if we're having this conversation in 3 weeks, I wouldn't be shocked.
I did pick Bucks-Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals very early on in the playoffs last year, and the tweet got a little bit of prescience in there. So maybe this is my.
Are you
my
the new Charles Barkley?
I am.
I mean, Charles has picked like the last 5 champions, which is absurd.
Outside of,
we'll give you a little bit of that.
Outside of Charles's height, I would say I kind of look like him. Okay. I don't know if I'm willing to quite elevate to Sir Charles status. I'm going to have to start getting a little more reckless with my takes and my betting money before that happens. But the Bucks again. Bucks are going to take on the Bulls first round Sunday at Pfizer Forum. We don't quite know as we record this game time. You may know this as you're listening to it, exactly what time that game is going to get going. But Jim, before we dive into our weekly features, regular season is over. Giannis was awesome, like we mentioned. Obviously, a tremendous year for Jrue Holiday. He's 18.3 points per game, 6.8 assists. Crazy good defender. He really was, I think, the key that sort of unlocked everything for the Bucks. Certainly, that was the case last year, and it looks like again this year. Anything else now that the season has wrapped? Any stats that jump out at you, or any sort of, I guess, sweeping revelations that we have with all the games in the books?
Not in particular. I think Giannis put together he did not say this is his best season. I don't think he's someone who would acknowledge that kind of in the moment, but I think it's definitely on par. If you look at how effective he's become in the mid range at the free throw line, the playmaking, the assists, I think Jrue Holiday is, look, I think fans, look, they won a title and Jrue couldn't do anything with his shot in last year's playoffs. And he is a career best 3-point percentage. So Pat Connaughton, career best 3-point percentage. Bobby Portis earned himself a lot of money. So yeah, I think there were some really notable individual performances, JR, throughout the year. Chris Middleton made an all-star team. I could maybe argue his even season was a little more uneven than we're used to seeing. But I think that, you know, the year as a whole, you know, that set up for a team who's in its championship window. And I think they all individually played to those things. Now we'll just see if they can put it all together for another, you know, what, 16 wins.
All right, let's move on to our features of the week. We're going to start with one quick buck.
Desmond Mason. Woo-hoo! With authority. Man. Monte Ellis puts it up at the buzzer and got it.
No way.
Monte Ellis wins the game and then heads to the locker room.
No, you got to be kidding me. Charlie Villanueva. He has got the mojo going.
To the bell, man. In your face, Brad Lojas.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Larry Sanders from Virginia Commonwealth University. Larry is not here.
One quick buck.
All right, you knew that with one quick buck, I'd have to do something related to Bucks Bulls. We've already done Mike Dunleavy, which actually keep your eyes peeled at jsonline.com. There's something coming involving Mike Dunleavy and the incident with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the 2015 playoff series that I think many people remember. But this is another highlight, another major moment from that series came in Game 5 when Jared Bayless. Hit the game-winning basket at the buzzer to give the Bucks a 92-90 win. Extend that series. The Bulls were up 3-0 in that series. Derrick Rose was playing pretty well for Chicago that year, and Milwaukee was in trouble, but they're able to pull one out at the Bradley Center. They end up actually winning Game 5 as well, pushing it to Game 6. Game 6, we probably shouldn't talk about, although that Dunleavy incident takes place in Game 6. Bucks lost that one by, 54 points? I've already forgotten what it was, but it was one of the biggest blowouts in NBA playoff history, ending the Bucks season. But for a while there, it was kind of fun, and the Bucks had kind of a ragtag group of guys on that roster. Giannis was very young. OJ Mayo was one of the leaders, and in game 4... That's a inbound pass from Jared Dudley to Jared Bayless. And Chris Middleton actually had forced a turnover with, I think, like a little less than 2 seconds left. Jason Kidd calls timeout. That allows the Bucks to draw up this inbound play. Jared Bayless was actually the first read on that play. OJ Mayo was kind of playing B if they couldn't find him. Runs like a wide receiver's route, gets past Derrick Rose, wide open for a cut under the basket, and Jared Dudley lofts it over everybody to Bayless, who lays it in at the buzzer. Place goes nuts. Bradley Center goes nuts. That was a good moment for the Milwaukee Bucks. Jared Bayless was here for 2 years. He spent that 2014-2015 and then the 15-16 season with the Bucks. Played 77 games. He's really young that year. Only 26 at that time. He played, 22 minutes a game, 7.8 points that first season. He wasn't a huge contributor, but he did go up quite a bit. Actually, you could sort of argue his second year was his best year in the NBA. He played 52 games, 10.4 points, made 18 starts, 2.7 rebounds, 3.1 assists. He shot 44%. 44% from three-point range. That was the most minutes he'd ever played, and one of his best scoring performances. So he had a couple decent years. He was drafted in 2008 by the Pacers, but was sent right away to the Blazers. That's the same draft. We've talked about that draft before, where Brook Lopez was taken. So Bayless has taken one pick after Brook Lopez. DJ Augustin is taken. Augustine, I always say Augustin, like the philosopher. But DJ Augustin was taken in that draft. Joe Alexander was taken in that draft. Jared Bayless was taken after all of them. He was MVP of the Vegas Summer League, so like he had a good start to his career. But he spent time with a lot of teams. He's traded to the Hornets, traded to the Raptors, signed by the Grizzlies, traded to the Celtics, signed by the Bucks. They needed some backcourt depth, and Jared Bayless was perfect for that. Jason Kidd really trusted him. Brandon Knight was on that team for the first part of the year before they traded him to get Middleton onto the Milwaukee Bucks. He battled injuries. He had a hip pointer. Torn oblique at one point in his career, but out of Arizona, good three-point shooter, and had that one moment that a lot of people remember in Bucks playoff history. It's easy to forget some of that history where the Bucks didn't win a playoff series from 2001 to 2019. So it's nice to sort of forget about that period in between. But that was kind of a fun time, the Bucks Bulls series. All right, that'll do it. One quick buck. Now let's move into our favorite portion of the program. It is What's Making Jim Mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset.
Louder!
I'm upset.
Say it louder!
I'm upset.
That's my secret, Cat. I'm always angry.
What's making Jim mad?
Oh, before we do that, Jim, do you have any thoughts on Jared Bayless?
You know, I do. Jared Bayless was very nice to me. He was one of the Bucks players that was here when I first started covering the team. And we actually bonded, if you will. Is that the right word? Probably not the right word. It's a little too strong. Over vegetarian dishes at Beans and Barley. I would see Jared at that Beans and Barley counter. And, you know, you kind of give yourself the head nod over avocados and sweet potato burritos. So, yeah, I got a little bit of love for Jared Bayless.
Love it. Love it.
Support local.
Awesome. So what Jim is making you mad this week?
Yeah, JR, this is pretty simple for me. It follows off last week's making me mad over cucumbers, and I don't want cucumber flavored anything. I'm going to stick with a vegetable, JR. I don't know. I guess it's a food, but pickles make me mad, JR. I don't like pickles. Pickles are gross. When I specifically say I do not want pickles, don't give me pickles. Like, I don't want them on the food. I don't want them on the plate. I don't understand, like, why they're a thing, why they exist. And I definitely, I don't want them around. I don't want them around me, JR. And I feel like that's not understood. I pickles.
Yeah.
They're too many.
I'm 100% with you. I don't like when I'm at a backyard barbecue, nobody's putting pickles on their burgers. I don't know why fast food burgers have made it a priority of all the things you put on a burger for pickles to be like the mainstay, the staple. My kids will not touch anything that has touched a pickle. I likewise do not want pickles or pickle residue anywhere near my burger. And I think it's crazy that I have to constantly ask to get rid of it. Don't put it on my burger. My burger is meant for burger and cheese and, you know, maybe onions if you're feeling up to it or a tomato or whatever. But why is pickle of all things? Why is, again, it's the pickle lobby, Jim. These vegetable lobbies must be just massive. I don't know how they became so part of the fast food culture.
I don't know either. And it's this is a thing. Yeah, they make me mad.
I hear you, Jim. They make me mad too. There's jars of them in my fridge and I want to just throw them out. I hate them. I hate them, but my wife likes them, so they stay, unfortunately. That's going to do it for this edition of the Point Forward Podcast. The Milwaukee Bucks will be headed to the playoffs. Jim Ozarski will be there. I might even be there. I don't even know, Jim. But that's going to get underway on Sunday. The Bucks and the Bulls in the first round. Jim, thanks for joining us, man. We will chat again. I believe next time we'll chat will be after game one. Series will be underway, so we will chat with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jared. Looking forward to it as always.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will catch you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.